Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Morning show, Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. Steelers' number one draft pick. He'll be the focus for a lot of fans throughout the course of the weekend. Coming to Pittsburgh today to meet the media. Said he loved when he visited Pittsburgh to talk to Coach Tomlin and Omar Khan, the GM. His name is Derek Harmon. Big
and
dude.
Derek will be meeting with the media at 4 o'clock this afternoon over at Acrisure Stadium.
He is 6'4", 313 pounds, from the Detroit area, played in Michigan State for a couple of years, then Oregon last year, and they are excited. They being Coach Tomlin and Omar Khan. Apparently, they really wanted this guy. But I think a lot of fans were focused on, as you put it, they're going to get a quarterback, right?
Well, I mean, there was talk about it, but I mean, none of that really made much sense when you look at what the Steelers needed most, which is they need to start bolstering the defensive line. Cam Hayward is toward the end of his career here. How many more seasons does he have?
So the Steelers had a draft party over at Stage AE last night, and usually they have an event at the stadium on that Saturday of the draft weekend. However, they cannot do that this year because they have 26 million pounds of dirt dumped on Acrisure's field for this Supercross.
Oh, yeah, right.
And they haven't done this since Three River Stadium.
I see they're expecting a big crowd, like 50,000 or more.
Yes, since 1983. That's tomorrow.
What is Supercross for those who don't know?
It's a motorcycle championship where they're in dirt. You know, it's a dirt track created in the stadium. And
are there like jumps and?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. You know, all that stuff you see in videos. And there are a couple of local angles on this. And we're going to talk to the guy behind it coming up in our next hour, which is fascinating because to truck all that stuff in, and apparently, this sport, Pittsburgh's a hotbed. They think they're going to draw from as far away easily as 600 miles, and some international people, it's that big a deal.
Mm.
But again, they haven't done one of these in a stadium in Pittsburgh since 1983 in Three River Stadium. But I imagine the groundskeeper over there is not sleeping well just because 26 million pounds of dirt.
Right?
They're dumping that on my field.
Oh, gosh.
I'm sure they, obviously.
What a cleanup that's going to be.
Yeah, they. I'm sure they have a game plan. And how long did it take them to bring that much dirt in to the stadium?
Well, it could be worse, though, Larry, in terms of the mess left behind. I mean, they could be holding a rodeo.
Then there's a little added, let's just say, dirt load.
But wait, there's more.
So the Supercross is in Pittsburgh this weekend. We're only a week away from the marathon. How about that?
Nice.
Coming up. And
Hey, by the way, can I take a moment real quickly to acknowledge something I thought was kind of cool?
What do you got?
I have a friend who works at UPMC Children's Hospital. He's part of the critical care transport team. This is the he's a flight nurse. These are the people who fly all over the region and bring really ill children to Children's Hospital to help save their lives. And the team, the critical care transport team, was recognized by Allegheny County Council with a proclamation honoring their work and commitment to parents and families and patients. That was pretty cool.
That is the best of what goes on in our town.
And when they can't fly, they drive to the children.
I give those people all the credit in the world. Truly. God bless them.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, the funeral for Pope Francis will be held in the Vatican. 150,000 people have already walked by the chapel where the Pope is laid out. And I thought you'd appreciate hearing from Tina Krause, I think, at CBS, Paul, has done a really terrific job of kind of telling the story.
I agree, yeah.
We know that there will be 50 heads of state, 10 monarchs, and former President Biden will sit alongside them at the funeral. It's perhaps not a huge surprise that he's coming because he's only the second Catholic president in U.S. history behind John F. Kennedy. And before he left office, he awarded Francis the Presidential Medal of Freedom with distinction. That's the highest civilian award that can be given by the president. So tomorrow he will be down there in St. Peter's Square along with hundreds of thousands of mourners to remember Pope Francis.
The devoted descended on St. Peter's Square for a third and final day to see Pope Francis one last time as he lies in state. Tens of thousands, including the Pope's relatives, have come to pay their respects so far. Vatican officials kept the Basilica open past midnight again Thursday to accommodate the crowds.
It's a very emotional moment for me.
Around the world, the faithful also gather for Mass to pray for the pontiff.
With much of tomorrow's funeral ceremony taking place outside, a massive security operation is underway as 170 foreign dignitaries are expected to attend. Snipers will be on the rooftops, drone detecting technology is in place, and more than 8,000 security forces will patrol the streets.
The Vatican has released an image of Pope Francis's tomb made from marble with the simple inscription Franciscus. The Pope also approved a break in tradition just last year, removing the centuries-old practice of popes being buried in three coffins. Yesterday, rosary prayers at the church where the Pope will be buried, the Basilica of St. Mary Major, led by Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagle of the Philippines. He's mentioned as one of a handful of candidates who could become the next Pope. New York Archbishop Timothy Dolan is one of 135 cardinals eligible to vote in the conclave to choose Francis's successor.
We certainly want somebody with his gracious, humble, simple, loving style.
The date of the conclave is expected to be announced after the funeral.
We do know that later today, President Trump and the First Lady are expected to leave Washington, and they will fly here to Rome before the president joins other leaders like President Zelensky from Ukraine. But the biggest thing that we know is that, you know, behind me, we still got the long, long, long lines of mourners. They only have so many hours left before 8 p.m. tonight when the viewing is cut off. That's when the Pope's coffin will be sealed, a veil placed over his face first, then the coffin sealed ahead of the funeral. Tomorrow, but the stage is set down here. They've built the altar up, they've added more chairs, and they have a massive security operation in place to make sure that everyone can stay safe as they remember the pontiff.
CBS is Tina Krause. There's always a Pittsburgh connection. When the Pope was first laid out in that private chapel, the Pope's chapel,
it's an unusual looking chapel with a lot of interesting beams in the ceiling.
It was designed by Lou Astorino of Pittsburgh.
Wow.
An architect who has done designs for PNC Park, PPG Paints, Arena, Children's Hospital. And I have met Mr. Astorino over the years. Extraordinarily talented and gifted. His brother's also an architect, which is kind of amazing. So Lou asked Arena, when I saw that, I'm like, I remember the story of them building that chapel and knowing that there was that Pittsburgh connection. So it's going to be very early tomorrow morning, but
I'll be up
8,000.
I mean, I automatically will be up anyway. 4 a.m. is when that starts our time.
Are you up that early on the weekends?
Well, I mean, I'm used to waking up at 2. So my body wakes up, you know, out of habit.
What do you do when you get up that early on a weekend?
Oh, usually do some reading, you know, pay the bills, go for a walk, whatever. And then I usually wind up getting tired enough to go back to bed and I'll sleep for a couple more hours.
That's a good theory. Aaron, do you get up early now that you've spent a year almost with us?
I do think that early on I would get a headache, you know, when I would let my body sleep because my body was like, what are you doing? And so I do think that's kind of strategic, Paul. Like you wake up, do a few things, and then go back to sleep. So I will toss around like a little bit before 5. You know, my body will sleep in for a second and then I wake up like, what day is it? And then I'll go back to sleep. And it's kind of nicer that way. You don't get a headache.
That's pretty cool. I could sleep unattended if I can, but it's so rare that there's nothing going on.
Right.
Like a teenager, if necessary.
Straight through.
Hey, back to that chapel I mentioned Lou Astorino, the architect, designed. It was funded by the late John E. Connolly, who owned the Gateway Clipper fleet.
Oh, no kidding.
He donated it to the Vatican. And I guess this was in 1996. So you'll see these photographs of the coffin when he was first laid out in that chapel. And you think, well, there's a Pittsburgh connection.
Nay, for us, man, it starts inside and up front. And this is a guy that's capable of dominating that space versus the run and the pass. So we're really excited about having him. As Omar mentioned, man, we weren't interested in considering trading away from him. And I'm really excited about getting him in here and getting started.
Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin talking about the number one pick, Derek Harmon, defensive lineman who played most recently at Oregon, also spent a couple of seasons at Michigan State. And joining us from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Steelers beat writer Brian Batko. Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. I stayed up, you know, when you get up at 3 a.m. those late nights, but I couldn't stop. I had to see who the Steelers were going to pick, and maybe a lot of fans were surprised it wasn't a quarterback, especially more recently since Coach Tomlin was loving up Shedeur Sanders, and he didn't get picked at all in the first round. Were you surprised at this pick? They seem delighted.
No, and I love that you know, came back with the clip of Tomlin saying Derek Harmon at Steelers.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
DNA, because you know they opted for a guy who figuratively has Steelers DNA instead of a player who literally has NFL DNA in Deion Sanders' son, Shedeur from Colorado, probably the most polarizing player in this draft, partially because of himself, partially because of his dad and all the hype and the buzz and the branding with the Sanders family. And yeah, I mean, obviously all 32 teams decided, at least in the first round, the juice was not worth the squeeze for him. So I think we'll be wondering for a long time, potentially, was Mike Tomlin talking that up just to throw people off the scent, which I think nationally a lot of the draft experts were misled, but I think locally here a lot of us did think that they were going to opt for the meat and potatoes pick, the all steak, no sizzle, swinging for good contact to get on base rather than swinging for the fences.
And apparently he is well liked and respected. He is also somebody dealing with, you know, a family crisis, and with his mom literally on life support. As he said, it was a bittersweet moment, but immediately you feel for the young man.
Yeah, I had been doing my research on Harmon this whole pre-draft process, really, and I had, you know, seen some stuff about that, but, you know, generally don't look too deep into it until the guy is here or not. And I know he'd been posting in recent days and weeks on social media even more about his mom, so still was not expecting to hear him detail that a little bit with us last night on a conference call at the Steelers facility. So absolutely a player who you know, has a ready-made story that you can root for if you're a Steelers fan. I mean, you talk about somebody who has to work for a lot now and has had to be inspired and driven and motivated by the person in the world closest to him. Derek Harmon's journey tugs at the heartstrings for sure. Every player picked last night had an emotional evening, but it sounds like his was doubly so when you factor in, you know, what's going on in his personal life.
We're with Brian Batko of the Post-Gazette. That said, the Steelers traded away their second pick, so there won't be one of those unless they make some other deal. So tonight it's 2-3, and then Saturday go through the rest of the round. So what is the anticipation, Brian, since you spent so much time with all the guys surrounding the Steelers?
Yeah, I think, Larry, especially because they opted to pass on quarterback in the first round, which will be much debated here and elsewhere, do they now try to target that position tonight? Do they try to get one of the second tier, if you will, players fall to them in the third round? Or if they punt yet again and maybe take another running back to replace Najee Harris in their backfield, do they take a quarterback? Do they wait until tomorrow, which is, you know, the later rounds, the quarterbacks who are more long-term backups more than likely, and what would that mean for the Steelers and how confident they are that Aaron Rodgers is ultimately going to decide to sign here? I think those are sort of the permutations that we're all working through in our brains as we try to predict now the rest of this draft tonight and tomorrow afternoon.
So what happens after this weekend? They sign some free agents, they get to mini camps, and then they go through that process until we get to summer camp in Latrobe, right?
Well, first they will have the rookie mini camp it's usually a couple weeks after the draft, where pretty much the onboarding orientation process for all the draft picks. And like you said, the undrafted players who then get signed here, and every once in a while they find some gems in that group, and then they get some rookies who try out for the team that weekend. And most of them are long shots, but Duck Hodges is somebody once upon a time who got signed via that tryout process. And after that, there's a couple more weeks off. Then they have the optional team activities, which you know, most of the players will be here for, and then one mandatory week of full team mini camp. And then, yeah, they all go their separate ways for about a month until training camp in Latrobe. And after last night, at least on the defensive side of the ball, all eyes will be on the first round pick, the rookie, Mr. Derek Harmon out of Oregon.
Well, we hope he can help and help soon. That would be a welcome change up front. Meanwhile, I got to ask you, right in the middle of the draft, they announced that they were going to announce the schedule announcement, which I think some people, including me, for a minute was like, wait, are they going to release the actual NFL schedule for the season? No other league waits so long to do so. And then they announced in the middle of the announcement that it was going to be announced May 14th.
At least they didn't announce that they were going to announce the announcement last night. So, yeah, I mean, only could the NFL, you know, have an entire night of the off season dedicated to rolling out a calendar. But hey, you know, when you think about it, Larry, all the draft really is teams turning in cards with names on them. So who knows, maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now, cities will be bidding to host the schedule release event for the NFL. It's just, it's amazing, of course, but you know, that's, we know that's the level of interest in this league. And yeah, May, I think it's May 14th, they said, or what, mid-May sometime, Everybody will be tuned in to see when and where the Steelers are playing their 2025 opponents, which we already know.
Meanwhile, read all about it in the Post-Gazette with Brian Bacco. Brian, appreciate the time. I know you'll be busy this weekend. Good luck.
Thanks, Larry. Maybe I'll squeeze in a nap here at some point today.
Amen. Days and now rain on the doorstep. Let's go to meteorologist Heather Zehr at AccuWeather's headquarters. Heather, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So I know we actually need some rain. We haven't had nearly as much rain this April as last. So what's the game plan today? Some thunderstorms too?
Yeah, it does look like we have some showers and thunderstorms on the way. And as you said, right on the doorstep, pretty much at this point, the leading edge of the precipitation is starting to sneak over from West Virginia and Ohio into far western Pennsylvania. So we're going to start, I think, to see some showers showing up in Pittsburgh proper within the next couple of hours. I'd say probably by 8 a.m. we'll start to see some showers. There can be some rumbles of thunder, and that can really occur at any point for today. So it does look like it is going to be just kind of a day to keep the rain gear handy because it could rain at any time.
And there is a huge event at Acrisure tomorrow, this 26 million tons of dirt dump for this motocross. It's a supercross motorcycle event, and it is somewhat weather dependent. How's it look for tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow, I think, does at least look less wet than it's going to be for today. So we are kind of heading in that correct direction. But that said, I do think that we need to still be on the lookout for a possibility of some showers, at least during the morning hours. Then I think we dry out in the afternoon. So the day trending toward the drier direction.
Yeah, and cool highs tomorrow after we've had these summer temperatures.
Yeah, we've kind of gotten used to the summer-like temperatures over the last few days. Even today is going to be a big downstep from yesterday. We officially hit 85 yesterday, should be 73 today, but then only 63 for tomorrow. So cooling of 20 degrees plus in just 2 days, and nighttime lows are going to be dropping as well. So for tonight, not too bad, down to about 59. But tomorrow night, I think temperatures are down near 40. So kind of a chilly night tomorrow night.
Heather? Have a great weekend. Appreciate the update.
Hey, you too.
Meteorologist Heather.
White News Desk. The Steelers chose a defensive lineman last night. It's something Mike Tomlin said was a top priority.
Extreme urgency, to be quite honest with you. There's no substitute for young talent. This is a young guy, man, that has an opportunity to learn from the likes of Cam Hayward and put his hand in that pile and be a significant contributor for us for years to come.
Yeah, he is, by all accounts, a top lineman and apparently a really well-balanced young man.
No doubt about that, and we learned more about how well-balanced he is when he met with reporters and started answering some questions, including speaking about a family crisis that's unfolding even as we speak.
She's on life support, so after I get off the phone with you guys, I'm gonna head straight to the hospital and kind of telling her ear to her son got telling her son got drafted.
Yeah, his mother had a stroke and then recently has been in the hospital. So he went to see her and then he's coming to Pittsburgh today.
Well, having a meeting with the media at 4 p.m. at Acrisure Stadium, Larry. Also at Acrisure Stadium, 50,000 people are expected to turn out Saturday for the Supercross event.
Yes, it's a motorcycle event. There are, I guess, 17 of these a year. This is the 15th of 17, and they have a championship at stake. And we're going to talk to the man behind it in the next hour. But the fun fact is 26 million pounds of dirt have been trucked in and on the field at Acrisure.
Wow. Please don't turn on any sprinklers, right?
Right. And they have it covered because it would be muck if it gets too wet. And that's why I asked Heather.
Oh, yeah, we get off and on rain today, yeah.
But it looks like it'll dry up after the early morning tomorrow for the event, which is good news for everybody. So that is a unique. How unique? The last time they had a stadium motocross in Pittsburgh was 1983 at Three Rivers Stadium. Supercross.